T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I like the way we're trending, the way we're playing. Without the puck, I think we're doing a much better job in front of our goaltender. And just having that urgency when we don't have it, of keeping it out of our net, you know, it just seems like we're more aggressive. If there is a breakdown, there's a next layer there to help out somebody that, you know, may have fallen or lost the battle. So all those areas, I think it's a great response from our team, just recognizing that. But they're the ones that are doing the work, and they've done a good job of it, even though we didn't get the result against Winnipeg.
That is Sabres coach Phil Housley. The Sabres are back in action tonight, taking on the New York Rangers at KeyBank Center as they wrap up a 7-game homestand. We will have the game for you here on WGR beginning at 6 o'clock. Our coverage begins with the pregame show. Faceoff at 7, Brian Colziel brings you the postgame show after the game.
Rangers, then Devils, then Panthers.
Yeah.
And those are teams, all three of them, that are below you.
Did you look at the schedule after that?
It looks nasty. Tampa's in there.
Yeah, Tampa's in there. Toronto twice. Pittsburgh and Washington. And Philly, I think, is the other game.
Okay.
So, yeah, it gets a little tight around the collar there. It gets a little tougher after this one. So you got to take advantage of these games. You have to win tonight. You need 9 points on this homestand at the very least. So win tonight. And then, you know, the Devils haven't been playing well. Could you get into New Jersey and win? I know they've struggled against the Panthers for whatever crazy reason, but these two games are extremely winnable.
Is the Devils game tomorrow?
Sunday night.
Okay. Devils play tonight against the Wild. I was going to say, both teams coming in on back-to-back seems like it doesn't happen all that often. Out-of-town scoreboard, I think each of us has our own level of what we care about. Columbus lost. That's where the out-of-town scoreboard for me stops.
Yeah.
Montreal also lost. But
they
I'm not
far away at this point.
I'm not looking at Montreal.
Yeah.
The Sabres are 6 points back of Montreal.
Montreal could still be a threat to move into third and overtake Boston, for goodness sake.
Yeah, if you're looking elsewhere, those are the only two games that really matter that much on the out-of-town scoreboard. The Leafs win. If you're thinking about the Leafs, I don't know what you're thinking about, really.
You know what was notable there? Auston Matthews scored his 100th career goal already. I think he's either the fastest or the second fastest player in Toronto Maple Leafs history to reach 100 goals. That was quick. So that was notable in that game. But yeah, I Columbus, Carolina, I mean, they are still a point ahead of the Sabres. So you got to worry about passing them. And then I think Columbus and Pittsburgh might just be, you know, going back and forth. Someone, you know, they're tied in points. I think Columbus has the edge in regulation overtime wins, but I believe they're tied in points with 67. So those two teams might be jockeying for that number three spot and perhaps the number two wild card spot behind either Montreal or Boston.
We open up the show talking about a Bob McKenzie tweet about the Sabres, pointing out he says the Sabres would desperately like to stay in the hunt to promote development of their kids, but won't give up notable future assets to do so. And I had someone write to me earlier, last hour, about what that means for the kids, like that Phil wrote in. He's planted his crop about Botterill. He thinks this year's experience will make for better years in the future. Do you think that? What is there to suggest that that is a thing? Because, all right, you think that staying in the hunt will make them better. What about the eight teams that finish ahead of them?
I think it's I do put stock in getting into the playoffs and having the experience of going through the pressure of a playoff series. This is better than being out of it by February 1st. But it's about getting into the postseason, having these guys experience that.
Right, but I guess what you're getting down to on this is
this help them next year?
Is there a moral victory for staying in the race? Do you get anything out of staying close?
Yeah, my sanity is a little bit better.
I guess. You probably have happier moments and some more upset moments.
Yeah, I'm not screwing around with that. I mean, I much prefer this than the season being over
but for the GM,
at Thanksgiving.
Because the GM, in this case, it's Bob McKenzie relaying what he believes the Sabres GM is thinking. They would desperately like to stay in the hunt. Okay, why don't they desperately want to make the playoffs?
Right.
Like, if there's a value to be given to the hunt, wouldn't it be much more valuable to actually make it and to show players like Jack Eichel, Casey Mittelstadt, Rasmus Dahlin. You know, you're talking about the pressure of a playoff series. How about just maybe the same thing, the intensity of a playoff series.
To see what it's like to play.
Exactly.
Yes.
And sure, maybe you get bounced in four games by Tampa, but it would be nice if one of the teams in town had a realistic realistic bar, right? Instead of always just looking at 500 as the bar or mm-hmm. squeaking in as the bar. You know, you talk about, we want to win cups. This team wants to win the Stanley Cup. Great. You're not anywhere near it.
No.
And the team that is the closest to it, or one of the best, is the team you could face in the first round. So if you want to get a good look at that team, go get in the playoffs right. And then get smacked around and say, all right, clearly.
But you're all the better for it, right? Don't we always hear.
But I don't even know that you are better for it. I guess that's what I'm saying.
But don't we always hear that? Isn't that one of those things that we talk about in sports? Like, if you're going to win a championship, you got to go through the growing pains. And the growing pains means you get into the playoffs and you might get smacked around in round one, but at least you've gone through that.
Sure, I guess.
I do believe there is value for these guys getting into the postseason and understanding what that's like.
Vegas didn't need to get close and then get smacked around. They just went to the cup final.
They might have had guys. They did have guys on their roster that would have been in playoff games before.
Sure.
This group has Oposo. How many guys on this roster have been in a playoff game?
Scandella, I would think, right?
Right. Oposo.
Oposo.
Yep.
Not Skinner, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Nope. It's probably about it.
Sobotka.
Sobotka.
Connor Sherry.
Connor Sherry, definitely.
Hunwick, but he wouldn't necessarily even be playing. But
it's not the getting to the playoffs that makes you ready for the playoffs. It's being on a good team, and good teams have good players. You know, so yeah. It's an interesting way to phrase it for McKenzie to say the Sabres are desperate to stay in the hunt. That doesn't strike me as a real thing. Mm. You already are there, so they're desperate to be where they currently are. I mean, I don't know if Bottrell uses the word desperate or whoever it is that tells McKenzie that is saying that, but I just don't really believe that finishing ninth is going to definitely benefit you. The Sabres, before the tank years, consistently finished about ninth or tenth. We watched it happen multiple times, right? Mm-hmm. Right after Briere and Drury leave, it was ninth and tenth place finishes. And then they made the playoffs 2 years, and then back to ninth and tenth place. And we've watched worst to first happen several times, where last year it's New Jersey that finished with a lottery pick, first overall, mm-hmm. to the playoffs. And even that, did that help them this year? They're bad again.
No, they're going to miss the playoffs.
So I think that sometimes we get caught up in these ideas that things are just linear, and that, well, if they go from last to ninth, that clearly means they're on their way up, and then next year they can expect to be there. I'm going to need more good players. And desperation to stay in the hunt. I don't even think that. I think that they're just kind of hoping things turn out. And I don't know. Maybe Bottrell sits on his hands and doesn't do anything the whole year, and you know, preaches patience.
Maybe desperation to stay in the hunt to see how these guys handle it. You know, whether they rise to the occasion, whether they. I don't know. Maybe this is part of his evaluation process of.
But if
who
you
he
were
wants
to,
on this roster
if,
going forward,
if
to
if
see
you were
how
to
they
guess,
play.
Who's going to rise to the occasion?
Well, Eichel, Skinner, Reinhardt.
Yep.
Guys
who
have been there
and
all
who's
season.
Not. Sobotka, Scandella.
Right.
I think you kind of know what you've got, and maybe you're hoping for a hot stretch. Maybe you're hoping that your goaltender, Linus Ullmark, can steal a couple of games and you can jump over Carolina and either Pittsburgh or Columbus. But it's just to kind of sit here and watch it all happen and then claim growth. I guess that's the easy way.
Yeah.
Like that's the easiest thing to do for this GM is to just to say, well, we're going to wait longer. You know, just wait longer. Okay. I mean, they've played better of late, which is a very good sign. And tonight's a winnable game, and Sunday's a winnable game. You win these two, you might still be 4 points out, but you could finish strong and claim that, hey, we stayed in the hunt, we improved, and Phil Housley's back for next season, and we're going to be off and running.
Maybe he wants to desperately stay in the hunt, so for the fan base to actually believe that they're headed in the right direction, and or for people to believe they have the right coach leading this team. Because... you know, you've brought up Housley at various points of the season and wondering, are they getting better? Are they staying the same? Is he the right coach for the team? Maybe the GM desperately wants to stay in this race so it looks better. It just feels to the fan base that, okay, we know they're not a cup contender. We know they still have multiple needs on this team. I would assume if nothing's done by February 25th, the general manager would do something about it in the offseason for the fan base and for the sake of believing that, hey, maybe Housley can coach this team after all. Because year one was a complete disaster, and year two was great in November and has been pretty, well, a below 500 team since. So maybe that's why Bottrell wants to stay, is desperate for this team to stay in the race. Doesn't want to have to deal with,
do they have
the right coach? Do they have to fire him in the offseason? What about the roster? It's not as good as we thought. Do you have to move a whole bunch of – maybe he just doesn't want to deal with all that stuff this offseason.
Well, and then we get to another spot that we've been in Sabre seasons before where you win games down the stretch, you stay in the hunt, you maintain ninth, and you claim that you finished strong. You know, I'm just worried about that.
So like a false positive type of thing.
Well, I mean, I often point to Ron Ralston in that scenario. 8-2-1 or 8-4-1 in April?
Yeah.
Oh, it's strong. Well, and then fired 20 games into the next season because they were going to be one of the worst teams in the league. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I want them to win games. I think we know who they are, and we have known for a long time. And, you know, if the GM is just kind of waiting, it just means that he doesn't have a trade partner. One of the things I wonder
He's
about...
He's certainly not still evaluating. This is not an instance... No, you're just shy. Okay, there's no way he has not made a deal because he still needs time to evaluate. He knows who these guys are and aren't, right?
On that question.
There's no way.
There's no way he's still evaluating.
He can't be.
The coach?
No, I think honestly by now you'd have a pretty decent feel on the coach.
He'd have an idea.
He knows whether, right? I think he's been around this team for a season and what? Almost three quarters. He sees Housley during games. He sees Housley at practice. He's with him every day. Wouldn't he by now know if he's the right guy? That doesn't necessarily mean, you know, if they miss the playoffs, it means he's not necessarily firing Housley. But yes, wouldn't you know by now? How does this guy do? What's the structure of his game? Does he know how to do in-game improvements? Is his message getting through to guys? I think you'd know all these things after 82 plus, what are we at, about 130, 140 games with Housley. I think he knows that by now.
So then, if you know that, you'd say the way that they finish from here to the end of the season would have no impact on whether or not Housley's back.
No, I think, I mean, if they go and blow up completely,
but if you know,
yes.
But if you've evaluated him and you know that he's good... You would say it doesn't matter. It's not his fault.
I didn't say he knows he's good. Okay. I just said he knows who Housley is. Wouldn't you agree by now that 100 and almost 40 game body of work, a GM would know if this guy can coach?
Maybe. I mean, I would wonder. I mean, Dan Bylsma coached a team to a cup and came here for 2 years, and it didn't go well, and he got fired along with the GM. So you know, coaching's an interesting thing when it comes to the NHL.
Wouldn't Bottrell by now know, as he looks at things, they're on the outside looking in, wouldn't he have a better – he would know now it's more of a coaching issue or if it's more of a roster issue. Did I pick the wrong coach or, you know what, I like the things Housley does. I need to get him a better roster. I need to get him another center, another winger who can score, another top four defenseman. Housley. I know this roster isn't good enough.
But I guess the question and then me, you know, if you're Bottrell, do you think once I get all those things – I should want a better coach to coach those players. I mean, I'm saying that that's definitely true, but you would wonder that. With regard to Housley, there's one very interesting thing about it, too. One or two. Would he be afraid of firing him? Because anytime we bring that up, someone will say, how does that look? You fired two coaches every 2 years. Granted, this franchise did have the same coach for 17.
Yeah, so we...
And then...
We owe coaches to get fired. It was, they went so long with
right.
one.
And
it is a different GM. I know it's the same owner.
It is a different GM. I guess I would wonder if you're Bottrell, would you be wary of firing a coach, any coach, because how it would look on you after two seasons, you feel like you haven't done enough for the coach. And two, you also have to ask this question. If he wasn't a former great with the franchise, would he be viewed differently?
Yes.
By the GM? And by the owners.
I don't know about the GM, by the fans, and by the owners, yes. I do think because he even though the owners didn't own this team at that time,
sure.
They're obviously aware of
but
who
if you're
he was.
Bottrell, you have to know that the owners and the fans view him differently than they would. I mean, Dan Bylsma is a great example.
Right, he was an outsider.
Dan Bylsma was a
him.
Cup winner.
Right.
And by this time in Bylsma's tenure, we were done. Like, right. Get him out of here.
Well, Lindy was always viewed. I think Lindy got a lot of caught, you know, a little extra time from a lot of people because he played here and he was popular here. I think, you know, the whole thing, if it ever got to the point where a coaching change had to be made, I wouldn't think as much about how it reflects on Bottrell because this he hadn't fired Dan Bylsma or any of these other guys, I think it would actually make me wonder more about whether people would not view this as a place you want to work because of ownership. And I thought of an NFL team. I thought of the Cleveland Browns, who we made fun of, right? How many times have the Browns fired coaches in the last, 10 years? How many times have they fired GMs? Heck, they fired a coach after 1 year on the job. They've rolled over the front office multiple times. And, you know, then you get this article at ESPN, the magazine, about the dysfunctional Haslam family and their ownership. I would wonder if it turns more of not about Bottrell, but, you know, the Pegulas, they've fired how many coaches? They've fired how many GMs? Hey, their football team has fired how many coaches and how many GMs? To me, I wouldn't think much about Bottrell, but I would think, is there a perception around the league that, hey, that's not a franchise you want to go work for because ownership fires people every 2 or 3 years in their respective positions? Think to me that would be more of a discussion. Yeah. That would make me think about being the Browns of the NHL.
And they're playing better, which is, you know, credit to Housley. And if they turn it around and make the playoffs, then that'll be a great achievement for them. But I guess what it comes down to is, when do expectations get real? You know, when is it no longer okay to say, well, you know, they're coming along.
Yeah.
Because what it is it's a lot of mediocrity and a lot of, I say participation trophies. That's like an old trope thing. Like the biggest problem I have with them is that they measure themselves off of last year.
Correct.
Like, that's the biggest problem that they have.
I'll answer your question with a question.
If last year's team finished in 10th and this year's team finished in 9th,
we would be feeling differently.
And
right?
we evaluate them sometimes on some levels against the worst team in the league because they were a colossal failure. And that is, to me, way, way off on how they should be measured.
Well, let me ask you that. I'll answer your question with a question. Okay, the easy answer to your question is, when will expectations change? The easy answer will be next season. No one's going to be happy with, hey, we're in the hunt. You know, next season, you anticipate offseason moves. You anticipate the GM trying to make this roster better, and you would expect them to be in the playoffs next year. I guess the question I would have is, do you believe at any point so far this season, have the expectations changed at this point? We know they'll change in the offseason. Have they changed at this point? Did the winning streak change expectations?
No.
Did the winning streak put more pressure on them to change those expectations now? Are we still in?
It should have.
Are we still in that happy world of, hey, they're in the hunt? That's all I can ask for.
I'm not in that happy world at all.
I know you're not, but I'm thinking about overall the fan base, ownership, the GM. The expectations obviously will change by the beginning of next season. I wonder if they changed internally at this point, somewhere in the last month or so.
I'm not trying to maintain that I'm really mad, but I'm not happy about just being in the hunt.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading a book on this trip. I read a book. It's called The Club. It's about the history of the Premier League, the forming of the Premier League in 1992. And the thing you get out of that book when reading it is cutthroat. And it is all about success. Mm-hmm. And it's all about winning. There is nothing about growth.
Just wait
and
till
feeling,
next year.
No, yeah. Nothing.
Right.
It is completely ruthless. And, you know, kind of made me, I got a couple days to think about this, thinking about how often, not just Buffalo sports, it's not just Buffalo. You just get so many congratulations for just being okay. You know, watch a game, watch the Red Wings next time they're on NBC Sports Network, and how often Kenny Holland's going to get congratulated for starting this rebuild. They're a disaster. They're the worst team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
One of them. And there's not really any indication to think, but they'll be getting congratulated left and right about how, you know, they've got a real strong belief in what they're doing and some of these kids. And man, in our sports, we just have so many ways to congratulate mediocrity. And after a while, you just get to like a, ugh. I've got a texter that pointed out, the East is really strong this year. The Sabres could finish with 95 points and miss the playoffs.
In the West, right?
Sure.
They would get them in a spot.
You don't
right?
get ranked. You know, you don't make the playoffs based on points. You get them off of rankings. Mm-hmm. You have to be in the top 8. And if you have 95 and miss, that means that 8 teams were better than you.
Mm-hmm.
That's not good. 8 teams just on one side.
Mm-hmm.
You're in 9th place. You're 9th out of 16. Congratulations.
Right.
Right? There's just so much congratulations. There's so many congratulations
for
mediocrity.
You're comparing it to what we're talking about. Relatively speaking, this is the best season around here since the last time they made the playoffs.
Yeah, I know.
Because they're never in the race this deep into the season. And I think that does affect people. It affects me. I've thought differently. I'm one of the people who thought, you know, not cup contender with 10-game win streak, but hey, this is progress. They're in the race. They're in the hunt. The hockey season usually is long over by this point of the year.
But what's progress? If I told you a team last year was
progress
is in the hunt last year and is worse this year,
right? That's the thing.
Were they making progress?
Progress is, are they better?
Then what?
Well, no. This is whole, right. This is your point. I'm judging them versus where the franchise has been in the last 7 years.
We should probably right.
Progress has to be where are you in terms of your fellow brethren around the National right. Hockey League.
For the Bills, it was such a long playoff drought that just getting in that one time was like the huge prize.
Mm-hmm.
And they've since gone backwards by design because they're going to try and build something better. And I can respect that. With the Sabres, they have the second longest drought in the NHL. And you know, we're kind of doing the thing where remember we used to compare Bills quarterbacks to former Bills quarterbacks?
Right.
We're comparing the Sabres to their failures.
Yeah.
And comparing the Sabres to their own failures is to really lose the mark of what's supposed to be used to measure a team.
You shouldn't go this long without making the playoffs
last
in the NHL.
Last year,
I know.
Florida finished 1 point out of the playoffs. 1 point. Were they growing? Where are they now?
Yeah, well, Florida was a team that had that perception of, look at the young talent they put together. They're going in the right direction. People were talking about them as maybe winning a division title with what they had put together, and now they're going in the other direction.
Last year, the Islanders finished 17 points out of the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They didn't stay in the hunt.
Right.
They didn't learn anything.
Right.
17 points out, lost their best player, hired a great coach, first place.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want to start getting back to a standard.
Well, the standard here, unfortunately, is rather low. And the standard is, can you be in the hunt in February, is the standard, unfortunately. And they've hit that. 803-0550 to join us. We've got a quick break, and Paul's going to join us. We'll talk more about the Sabres. Get you ready for the game tonight against the New York Rangers. Before we go to break, let's give away some stuff. We have tickets to go see Hart with special guest Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Friday, July 26th, Darien Lake Amphitheater. Minimum value of the prize, $60, courtesy of Live Nation. General contest rules will apply. If you'd like to call and try and win tickets, you can do so right now at 644-9878. Again, 644-9878. Call now for a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Hart and Joan Jett and the Blackhearts at Darien Lake this summer. We'll take caller number 5, give you a pair of tickets. Caller number 6, you get a pair of tickets as well. If you don't win tickets, they will be going on sale this morning at 10 o'clock at livenation.com.
It's Paul Hamilton.
That's what they called me in college, it's the bone.
He has the facts to back up his opinions.
People ask me, well, how are the Sabres going to, are they going to win tonight? I don't have a clue.
On WGR, Sports Radio 550.
Well, we'll find out tonight. Sabres and the Rangers, 7 o'clock. Paul will join us in a moment as we'll talk a little bit more about the game, find out what's going on with Mittelstadt and Bogosian. Pierre LeBrun from TSN said the Sabres and Jeff Skinner's agent have had, quote, good conversations on the contract extension. Nothing appears to be imminent at that point. He did point out that Skinner has a full no move, so really the February 25 deadline doesn't have much of an impact. The Sabres can't move him without him signing off on that, and there's no indication that Skinner is anything but happy here so far. The Blue Jackets lost last night to the Islanders 3-0. Montreal lost to Nashville. Let's see. College hoops, UB tonight in Toledo. Big MAC showdown with the Rockets. A couple of 20-win teams and two teams near the top of the MAC standings. We'll have it for you over on ESPN 1520, 7 o'clock tip. You can also see it on ESPNU. The 49ers are going to decline the option on wide receiver Pierre Garçon. Kevin Harvick and Joey Logano win qualifying races. They'll be in row 2 for Sunday's Daytona 500. We'll preview the race at 9:30 with Dave Buchanan. And sure looking like Vlad Guerrero Jr. will start the season with the Bisons. When he goes up, who knows? The GM of the Jays yesterday said they have no firm timeline for when Vlad Jr. will join the big club. Those are your headlines brought to you by Exergen. Cold and flu season is around the corner. People with conditions like heart disease, asthma, and cancer are especially at risk. Use the thermometer you and your family can trust, the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Its accuracy is backed by more than 70 clinical studies. It's the leading thermometer used in hospitals. 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. Also joining us right now on our Western Hotline is our very own Paul Hamilton, who will be at the game tonight reporting on it for us here on WGR. Good morning, Mr. Hamilton. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So what's going on? Let's do the injured thing here first. Zach Bogosian and Casey Mittelstadt.
Yeah, they both got out there, but neither one took turns on their regular lines or defensive pairs or anything like that. So considering they were somewhat limited, I wouldn't have a whole lot of hope that they would play tonight. And now Housley did not rule them out. So we'll see what happens at the morning skate and how they move forward. Neither player would commit either way to whether they would play or not. So, yeah, we'll see where it goes in the morning skate. But as I said, Mittelstadt did not take a shift with his line. Rodriguez did. And Bogosian was out there taking a few reps with Beaulieu.
So if it's the same as last game, Rodriguez would be with Sherry and Reinhardt. Rodriguez is in a real nice stretch here. Now, I wanted to talk to you about some of the guys whose games you have liked of late. And I think that whole discussion of improved secondary scoring, a key part of that has been Rodriguez the last few weeks, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, definitely. He really caught fire. What did he have goals, I believe, in four or five straight games? Or maybe it was five out of six. Where, you know, he really got hot and, you know, had some assists along the way, too. He just wasn't getting points in the beginning of the year for a long stretch. And then all of a sudden he got very hot and really helped the team, whether it was on that number two power play unit. Now, with Mittelstadt out, he played on the number one unit last game. But for the most part, he's been on that number two unit. And that number two unit has gotten a goal or two along the way, too, where it hasn't always had to been the number one unit that would score on a power play if it scores.
Who else on your list of players that you've liked of late, who else would be on your list?
I've liked Larson's line. It was nice to see them finally get rewarded with a goal, that getting that all-important third goal, that goal that seems to elude them quite often, and then they let a team hang around. It took them a while, but they were able to get it, and that was just tenaciousness by the whole line that allowed them to score that goal. And I just think you just like how they're in on players, they're in on the defense. If they're back in their own zone, they take care of their own zone. They're in sync with each other, so I think that line has done very well. I like Pilot over on the right defense last game. I thought he and McCabe played much better together once they flipped like that and went over the right. I've liked Scandella for three games now. Since they've tightened up defensively, I think he's had three sound games in a row where, you know, I thought he's played very well too.
How about Sherry on the list of players that we're looking for? He's picked his game up a little bit offensively as well. And I like, you know, because it was frustrating, Paul, watching him for a good chunk of the season. He's getting chances. He has that ability to, you know, find his way into space, sometimes get a partial breakaway or a breakaway, but he wasn't necessarily finishing. What about his overall game?
I think he and Mittelstadt grew together. You know, I think as Mittelstadt improved, Sherry improved, or the other way around, and I think they formed a nice chemistry together. And they both seem to get, I don't know if you want to say hot, but starting to get on the scoreboard together, you know, whether it's goals or assists or just, you know, getting some points. And I think Reinhardt has been a part of that, too. I was talking to Mittelstadt yesterday, and he said getting a chemistry with Reinhardt wasn't hard once he and Sherry had it. Reinhardt came in on that line, and he said he goes, I really hadn't played with Sam all that much, but he said it really wasn't hard when he got in there, and he's, I think, helped that line also.
Paul with us on our West Her Hotline, 803-0550 to join us. He'll be at the game tonight. If they don't win, the Sabres, and they don't get 2 points, disappointing homestand, right?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, I thought they needed to get 11. They obviously can't do that. So, but, you know, 9 is okay. That's 4 wins, 2 losses, and an overtime loss. So, 4-3. That's 1 game over .500. I'd like to do a little bit better than that at home. But it is what it is. And, you know, the best they can do is 9 right now. Some people were looking for 9 points. When we were talking as media, how many points they got to get in this homestand, we were all over the place.
Yeah.
I mean, I heard people say 9. I said 11. Brian Koziel said 10. I mean, so people were all over the place on it. What would be a successful homestand?
I was shooting for 10, Paul. I just thought that, you know, I was thinking, honestly, I keep thinking in that 60 to 65%. you know, in terms of points they'd have to gain, right, to have a realistic shot to get the wild card, it's a little over 60, maybe 65%. So I kind of thought you got to get 10. And I think 9 is the floor of it. So that's why I thought if you don't win tonight, yeah, 50%.
I think
not
like
good
14
enough.
Wins from here is
what it would take.
Yeah, in that neighborhood.
Yeah.
14.
Hi, Jeremy, how was your vacation?
It was good, Paul. It was very good.
I didn't even know you were here. Back.
I'm yet. Back. I'm back.
Thought we lost him in the ski lodge
yeah.
there, huh?
Yeah, I thought maybe he was in an avalanche somewhere and. But yeah, and now I think you have to look forward. You have 3 games against teams that are under you in the standings.
Yep.
So I think it's reasonable to maybe think you got to get 5 out of 6 here.
Yeah. All right, Mr. Hamilton, have fun at the game tonight, and we will not bother you tomorrow morning. We'll talk to you next week. You can take the weekend off as far as we're concerned.
If you're going to bother me tomorrow morning, I'd just be doing a private show for you on the telephone in your house, I guess. So,
all right. Well, you know what? I'll call you if you want to just come on. I'm sure my wife and mother-in-law would love to hear your thoughts on the game tonight. I'll buzz you.
Take care, guys.
Thank you, Paul. Paul, brought to you by Losi and Ganji, Buffalo's workers' comp attorneys, working hard for hardworking Western New Yorkers. We'll get some calls in, too, 803-0550 to join us.
I was in Denver when they traded for Joe Flacco.
Uh-huh. Did that set the town on its
emotion,
ear?
The feeling was palpable. Yeah.
Were they planning the Stanley Cup, the Lombardi Trophy parade, or are they just going to get to that a little bit later?
What a weird trade for them.
Like what?
What are you doing?
Right, yeah. Exactly. It doesn't make it, whatever. Brian in Arcade, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
Hey, guys. I think Jeremy nailed it. You know, for the Bills, what's the excuse going to be next year if they're not good? I mean, you have your hand-picked quarterback. You have the cap space and draft picks that you wanted to execute. You have ownership backing. You have everything that you need. You should have the culture by now that McDermott wants. This is year 3 for him. So, you know, how could the bar be lower next year than, you know, 10 wins in a solid playoff berth? Not competing, not in the hunt, but of solid, you are a good team. Why wouldn't that be the expectation? Because you're going to hear this offseason about Josh Allen. He knows he's the quarterback. The importance of OTAs, the importance of seeing training camp for the second time, the jump from year 1 to year 2, all the phrases that our old GMs over the years have used. Now, if you come to the end of it and you say, well, Allen hasn't seen these defenses. It's the only second time he's ever seen this defense. So that you can't have it both ways. And then for the Sabres, as soon as the 10-win streak happened, it seemed like the expectations went up in this town. The fervor went up. The energy went up. And then it's been nothing but disappointment since that point. As soon as the expectations came up, the team started playing softer and more lax, what it feels like. And you get a lot of the same post-game interviews. Well, we got to look in the mirror. How many more times can I miss that assignment? We got to come out with more energy. So I think for the Sabres, it's about driving more talent into the organization. For the Bills, there shouldn't be any more excuses. I mean, this upcoming season, they should hammer it.
Well, that's one thing. Thanks, Brian. That's one thing I've said about next year's Bills season. I'm excited that I feel like we're allowed to have expectations
sure.
again.
There's no growth year mindset.
Right. And, I mean, your expectations probably not going to be they're going to win the Super Bowl. But instead of every loss is okay, how did the quarterback look? Which, in a first year of a quarterback, I think that's fine, actually. You can do that. But, yeah, I agree. Next year, I hope next year is just about a football team trying to become great. And we set the bar as high as we can and see what they can do, and things go in the right direction. For the Sabres, I'm just, you know, I hope they get – they're playing well, which is really nice. There's some indicators along the way. Their expected goal differential has actually moved way up in the last 2 weeks. So to get some wins, they have deserved some wins. And it's been the breakdowns in front that's been, you know, costing them against Edmonton, Chicago, Carolina.
Yeah.
So – you know, beat the Rangers, beat the Devils, and beat the Panthers.
They did beat them last time, right? Didn't they have like a long losing streak, and they finally beat Florida the last time I think they played
them?
That
sounds right.
I got a 7 or 8 game losing streak against them. Is Luongo playing next week?
Yeah, because afterwards we joked about the most memorable thing that has ever happened in a Sabre Panther. No, did we do that?
No, I don't think we did.
No, because we would have said Zednik.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah.
right. Yeah.
No, we did that with Minnesota. Nothing has ever happened between these two teams. It's memorable.
What is...
the most memorable Florida thing is Zednik.
Zednik, yeah.
Well, I mean, I think that would win for most.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Well, the point being, there's not a lot of exciting Sabre Florida Panther games over the years that stand out. Let's get to JB here next in Atlanta. You're on WGR. Go ahead, JB.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Jeremy, no offense, but for one of the few times, I completely agree with you 100% on your take about we're so quick to accept mediocrity and to celebrate mediocrity. And I think it comes down to one thing, and actually two words, participation trophies. And if you just hear me out here, participation trophies, as you know, are like in Little League where everybody in the league gets a trophy just for showing up. I mean, I coach both my son's Little League teams for years, and I'm in an association that does participation trophies, and every year I try to get them to change, and of course they won't. Now, my reasoning is, hey, instead of spending this money on these trophies, how about we buy some catcher's equipment where our kids don't have to wear a mishmash of mixed up shin guards and chest protectors that are held together with duct tape and masks that don't fit. And participation trophies have been around for about 20 years now. And the kids who first got participation trophies are now approaching or in their 30s. They're the ones who are either playing or making decisions or reporting on our professional sports. And they were raised in a culture to where mediocrity was celebrated and rewarded. Hey, you showed up this season. Here's your trophy. Great job. And that's just the type of attitude and type of ethos that our society has rewarded. So we shouldn't be surprised when, you know, we hear people say, oh, we almost made the playoffs. Great job, guys. You know, that's the same thing as saying, hey, you showed up for every practice this year. Great job. Here's a trophy. And I just think we're starting to see the effects of that. And that's just my take, and I'd be interested to see what your guys' thoughts is.
I would disagree completely.
I do, too. No one cares about a participation trophy. Like, I understand the concept, but even a kid knows a participation trophy doesn't matter. I think that take is often given and often sounds like a hot take. Kids go for pizza. Kids go for ice cream. They're kids. We're talking pro sports. And in my opinion, the reason that mediocrity is celebrated in pro sports is because we all just want to believe in the team that we follow. And when something goes well, we are happy about that. The problem is that for the Sabres and the Bills, you're talking about, you know, a very thirsty fan base that gets a small dose of something good and is so thankful for it, kind of forgets that the standard should be a lot higher than that. So I don't think it has anything to do with participation trophies. I think it has to do with there's a lot of time to fill, and a lot of these teams have to tell you everything's going well. Everything's going to plan. Everything's great. Everything's fine. To me, it's more about...
Just respond.
JB, yeah, real quick, let me just, I know you're, hang on for just a second. In terms of participation, you are talking about a seven-year-old versus a professional group of players who get paid to do their job. I disagreed because, well, first off, I mean, I got a participation trophy. My son has a basement filled with participation trophies from name a sport. And it doesn't mean he now, you know, as he goes into the working world, thinks, yeah, you know, I just got to show up on time. That's fine. No, you've got to be really good at your job and do, you know, and strive to be even better and better and better. I don't think it's made him soft or anything like that. And I think it's not the participation trophy, JB, with the Bills and the Sabres. It's... And I'm guilty of this, too. It is comparing the Bills to 17 years of no playoffs. It is comparing this Sabres team to, what is the drought, 7 years of no playoffs and tank seasons and all that. I don't think it has anything to do with 20 years later, you got a participation trophy, you're not going to skate hard.
You're being too specific. Okay, your son it didn't happen to. My son it didn't happen to. I'm saying it's not only participation trophies. It's in schoolwork. It's like... The way they've changed how they grade, they assign grades.
What does this have to do with how Jason Bottrell's standard for the Sabres should be applied?
I'm not saying Jason Bottrell.
Well, that's what we're talking about.
Like, these guys didn't settle for just a good junior career. These guys have obviously been competitive enough to get to the NHL.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about the players themselves. I'm talking about...
Oh, the fans?
People. Fans.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Accepting mediocrity.
I don't agree with that. I don't agree with that.
Literally, do you know? Have you ever seen a kid that didn't get a participation trophy or thought they might not? They're heartbroken.
Who cares?
I think you're talking about a parent of a kid, and that's not the same as a fan of the Sabres. I think it's different. I don't. I'm not that same person. Yeah, I like it when my kid got a trophy for being a Little League baseball player, but that doesn't mean I settle for missing the playoffs as long as you're in the hunt every year.
I'm just, it's part of,
okay,
part of the character of people. When you're conditioned to be rewarded for mediocrity, that's what you're conditioned to accept. I'm not being...
All right, I know we got to wrap.
And
JB,
I
thanks.
Don't agree with appreciate any of it, but appreciate right, your sentiment.
Get a quick break and wine line call today coming up.
The general
up.
Conversation was how we should be raising our standard around here.
Yeah. But okay.
To it, right? To which we all agree.
We can, yes, but we continue the discussion because we're uber late. Sorry.
You got a diamond. You got nine men.
It seems to me like the Blue Jays are trying really, really, really hard to say, no, it's not about service time, even though we all pretty much know it's about service time. So to do it and call them up on the first available day would sort of say, hey, we were just kidding about all that. So I wonder if they don't leave him down in Buffalo for like a month.
That is Jays broadcaster Mike Wilner. He was on with Show Up at the Bulldog yesterday. If you missed the interview, it's available in on-demand audio at WGR550.com. So we expect to see Vlad Guerrero Jr. here to start the Bison season. Who knows how long he'll be here before we think he will end up going to Tirana.
Quick wine for you.
I got a quick wine too. Go ahead.
So you've been walking down the street and there's been a young child selling something like, hey, would you like to buy a candy bar?
Sure. Yeah,
hey, would you like to buy some Girl Scout?
Before Bills game,
yeah,
sometimes walking
exactly,
around.
Exactly. Yeah. So while we were on vacation, walking down the street, hi, would you like to buy some Girl Scout cookies? No, I'm sorry, I don't have any cash. Oh, we take credit card.
Isn't there a commercial like that?
Oh, no.
Wasn't there a commercial with the like, same promise? Really? They take credit? Are you
yeah.
serious? They weren't kidding around. They have like a little handheld device.
Yeah.
That takes, really? For Girl Scout cookies? What is this world?
This whole
to?
The world wow. we lived in, where we could say we couldn't because we didn't have any cash, has been destroyed.
Wow!
Now Girl Scouts are going to be taking credit card.
Did you buy some cookies?
No.
So what did you say? After you said they take credit cards.
We said we're going to go in and buy our things first, and then snuck out a different exit.
Wow! You did that.
I didn't
to a
want
Girl
girls.
Scout?
I didn't, what?
Like I'll do that. I mean, I might have done that to Salvation Army people over the years with the little kettle.
Listen,
you know, like, oh, let me just go get my stuff first.
Let
catch
us
on the way out.
Live in a world
wow.
where we can lie
wow.
and we can let them down gently by saying, I don't have any cash.
I can't believe
instead,
you did that.
Instead, forced to just lie and not buy them.
What, one box of Thin Mints would have killed you? Tagalongs, whatever the heck those things are, peanut butter patties?
I wasn't prepared for the answer. I was thrown.
Wow.
Big time. If I'd known that going in, I might have been, wow. you know. I would have given a different
those
reason.
Poor Girl Scouts. Now they're not going to reach their goal.
Did they have gluten?
Yeah.
Right. Let's go with that.
Sorry, I'm allergic to cookies. That's what you give them the allergic to cookies. Doctor's orders. I can't eat these anymore. My quick wine is about Jacob DeGrom. Everybody chill out. Let's not go crazy about his contract talks.
His agent is
the GM of the
GM
Mets
of the Mets now.
Yeah. And they won't have contract talks past opening
have
day.
Have they made a meme about Jacob DeGrom saying, I'm the captain now?
Yeah, yep. They haven't. Not yet, no.
The Mets answer is just like, let's just make Jacob DeGrom the GM.
Everybody calm down. He hasn't had a contract yet. They're not going to have talks if it goes past opening day. People are freaking out. Like, why don't you just hand him the bank? He's got 2 years left on his deal. Relax, everybody. He's under contract through 19 and 20. They don't have to get it done by the beginning of opening day this year. Just calm down. Plus, it's the Mets. They don't like to give out a ton of money, and they're probably worried that if they give him a ton of money, his arm will fall off this year. So everybody just relax and let the season play out, and they still have another offseason before it goes into the final year of his contract. Calm down. And in the meantime, I'll go to spring training, and I'll talk to Jacob personally and see if I can smooth things out. 803-0550 to join us. 888-550-2550 here on WGR Buffalo.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.